The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Christ.
Good evening, friends, and welcome. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you are our only comfort in life and in death. And so we pray that you would comfort us this morning and that you would change us by the power of your gospel. In Christ's name, amen. Well, in 1952, Reader's Digest published its landmark piece titled Cancer by the Carton, which first woke up the dangers of smoking to the American public. In 1964, 12 years later, the United States Surgeon General issued its first warning to the public, again, about the dangers of smoking. And yet for decades in America, American cigarette companies continued to deny the dangers of smoking. One executive infamously said at a hearing, "To my knowledge, it has not been proven that cigarette smoking causes cancer." In fact, it wasn't until 1997 that just one of the five major American cigarette companies finally conceded. And friends, the point is not the danger of smoking, the point is the danger of dishonesty and of denial. It seems that for us humans, honesty does not come easy to us. But Ash Wednesday is a day for being honest. It's a day for being honest. It's a day for not being like the hypocrites in Matthew 6 who live their lives pretending. Ash Wednesday is a day for taking off masks. It's a day for coming clean. So this evening, I want us to be honest about some things. First, I want us to be honest about the reality of sin. Many of you have probably been following the Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal in which the Astros cheated their way to a title in 2017. And what's interesting to me is how shocked the public is by what happened. They cannot believe that people, humans, an organization could do such a thing. It reminds me of the Onion article from a few years ago, which read, "Nation somehow shocked by human nature again. How could someone do such a thing? The populace wonders of an event that has transpired literally millions of times." Friends, as Christians, we should know better. If we actually read the Bible, if we actually read books like Joel, we wouldn't act so surprised when humans do far worse than cheat on a baseball game. If you turn back to our Old Testament reading in Joel, you'll see that things are not going well. What happens in Joel is this: Israel is attacked. They are attacked by a plague of locusts. This plague of locusts comes and they eat up Israel's grain fields. They eat up Israel's vineyards. They destroy the economy. They suck the life out of the land and out of the nation. And in Joel 2, God comes to Israel and he says that something far worse than locusts is on its way. Look at verse 1. Blow a trumpet, sound an alarm. Why? Because the day of the Lord is coming. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness there spread upon the mountains, a great and powerful people, their like has never been before. The imagery here is of an army gathering and preparing for war in the distance. And what Joel is saying is, in the same way an army gathers for war, God is preparing to judge Israel. He's preparing to judge his very people, the people chosen for himself. He's judging them for their sin, for their idolatry, for turning their hearts from him and to other things. And the point of Joel is this. The point is that the plague inside is far worse than the plague outside. That Israel, in other words, should be way more concerned with the condition of their hearts than the condition of their fields. And it's similar for us today. Because today, we aren't haunted by a plague of locusts, but we're haunted by the coronavirus. On Monday, the Dow fell 1,000 points as the coronavirus spread to Italy and into Iran, and more people are starting to be afraid. My wife told me yesterday it's hard to even find the surgical masks anymore. Amazon has had to warn against price gouging because there's such a shortage of the masks, which may or may not even work, by the way. But the point is, the Bible says all of us have already been infected. All of us have already been exposed. That ever since Adam and Eve, a virus has infected us, and that virus is called sin. And no one is immune to it. Everyone is exposed to it. So by putting ashes on our forehead in a few minutes, the first thing we are saying to the world is that we, the church, are sinners. It's like Dave Zoll says, the ashes are not a badge of honor. They're a scarlet letter. And so if you're here tonight and you have done things you're ashamed of and you feel your frailty and your sin and your neediness, you have come to the right place. Second thing we need to be honest about is death, the reality of death. As one author has said, Ash Wednesday is the day Christians attend their own funeral. The other 364 days of the year, those of us who are young and don't have to think about death, what do? We push death aside. We push it into the periphery. We send our aging parents off to nursery homes while we go to yoga and we go to Town Lake and we eat at Whole Foods and we pretend that death is only something that happens to other people, but not on Ash Wednesday. On Ash Wednesday, we do what Joel says to do in verse 16. Look at it. He says, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, gather the old, gather the newly married, gather the honeymooners, gather the children, and even the nursing infants. Everyone, gather everyone and say to them that your life will flame out. Like waking up in the morning after a campfire and looking around, all that is on the ground is ash. One day the fire inside of you and the fire inside of me will die, and it will flame out. So we're honest about sin, we're honest about death. But we also need to be honest about change. We need to be honest about change, and really two things about change. First, that I, within myself, do not have the ability to change, but I do have the necessity to change. I do not have the ability, but I do have the necessity. Look back at Joel one more time. In verse 12, God says, it's not too late to change. It's not too late. Even now, return to me with all your heart, return to me with fasting, return to me with weeping, return to me with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Rend your hearts, not your garments. What Joel is saying is that by itself, rending your garments, in other words, exterior change is nothing. Tearing your garments, acting sorry is nothing if it doesn't touch your heart. True change has to happen from the inside. And yet a Christian is someone who knows that the ability to change our hearts, to change our inside, ultimately does not reside with us. We say, along with those in Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery groups, that our lives have become unmanageable. They become unmanageable, and that we are powerless to change on our own. We need a higher power to change because sin is too strong, our hearts are too fickle, we cannot repent well enough, we cannot repent often enough. And so what does God do? He sends Christ. He sends Christ into the wilderness for 40 days to fast for us. He sends Christ to Gethsemane to mourn for us. He sends Christ to the cross, where by the cross, Christ's garments are rent. They are divided among the soldiers. And he sends Christ to the wood, where on the cross, his heart and his body are torn in two. Why? So that you may be whole. So that you may be whole again. So on our own, we do not have the ability to change, and yet we do have the necessity to change. We see that all throughout our passages tonight. Joel says to us, turn around, fast, weep. Jesus says to us in Matthew 6, pray, fast. Why? Why do I need to fast? I thought it was over. I thought Christ already took care of the sin problem. Why do I need to fast? Well, here we need to distinguish between the guilt of sin and the power of sin. The guilt of sin and the power of sin. Meaning, friends, if you're in Christ, you have been eternally forgiven. And the guilt of your sin is gone. It is gone forever. And yet, the power of sin still remains inside of you. There is still a war going on inside your body. There's still a war going on inside this room and in our world. There's a war going on in your homes, in your marriages. And that means that there are things in your home, in your heart, in your marriage, in our church that need to die and that need to be put to death. There are things that need to change. So in the words of C.S. Lewis, die before you die because there's no chance after. And that's why we have the season of Lent. Lent is for dying before we die. It's a 40-day journey towards the cross in which we slowly put to death, with Christ's hope, help, all the things in our life that are slowly killing us. So tonight, be honest. Ask yourself, what is killing me? What is eating me alive like locusts? What owns me? Does my job own me? Does social media and the envy it provokes own me? Does food and alcohol and the pleasure that substances provide own me? Does another person own me? Does bitterness own me? Does resentment own me? Does unforgiveness own me? Whatever it is, put it to death. Die before you die. Do whatever it takes. Jesus in the Gospels says that there are some demons that can only be driven out by prayer and by fasting. And the same might be true for you. There might be some problems in your heart, some problems in your marriage, in your home, in your relationships that have haunted you for years, and they can only be driven out by prayer and fasting. It's worth a shot. You've tried everything else. So this Lent, try it. Pray, fast, and see if God does not change you by his grace and by his Holy Spirit. So if you're here tonight, congratulations, because you're being honest. You're being honest about your sin. You're being honest about the fact that you will die. And you're being honest about the fact that you cannot change on your own, but you must change, and you will change between now and heaven. So be honest this Lent. 40 days, die before you die. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who has come to earth and died on our behalf, that any dying we do is ultimately just a participation in the death that you have already done. And this is only our only comfort in life and in death. We are not our own, but belong to you. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We proclaim his gospel tonight in your son's name.